نمائی افتر صاحب، چیئرمین آئی پی آر، مائی فرینڈ اشرف، لیڈیز اینڈ جینٹلمین، السلام علیکم. بفور آئی اسپیک آن دا بک اینڈ آلسو ان دی کانٹیکسٹ آف مائی ایکسپیرئنس ہیونگ سروڈ ان انڈیا ٹوائس، آئی فیل سم واٹ نروس. Thanks to Ashraf for having seated me between the two best foreign secretaries we had, and also the presence of my son, which makes me nervous. But I hope I'll be able to sort of, you know. And by the way, the two foreign secretaries, Riaz Mohammad Khan sahab, was instrumental in sending me to India as the High Commissioner, and before that, Shamshad sahab, I was the Deputy High Commissioner in India. Mohit, thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak on a book which is seminal in nature, so well researched, and as has been pointed out, it should be a must read for any serious scholar of the subject and who wants to understand the dynamics of a third party role in terms of settling or preventing disputes between two countries. The genesis of the book, as Mohit points out, Assalamu alaikum sir, I just noticed that you are here, Khurshid Kusuri sir. The genesis of the book, as Mohit notes, is that he was not satisfied with something that he had written in 2003. And knowing Mohit, I'm not surprised, and therefore I'm glad that you decided to do the book. You have examined very well the role of the third party, US, as a peace broker. Not honest at times, I must state that. Motivated by self-interests, but then, as one knows, there are only permanent interests, as borne out by the book, and why not? I would confine my comments on Kargil, the 2012 standoff, and the Mumbai crisis, because having been there and seen all these things happening firsthand. Following the 2001-2 Parliament attack, the Indian Cabinet Committee authorized military mobilization on a massive scale. The result was eyeball-to-eyeball confrontation on the borders. In 2002, I got transferred as High Commissioner to Canada, and I remember attending a seminar in Toronto. And Yawa, my friend sitting here, would relate to it. There was a delegation from FICCI, Federation of the Indian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And in that seminar in Toronto, one of the most prominent businessmen got up and said that he and FICCI have been able to convince the Prime Minister to withdraw the troops from the front because the FDI, the foreign direct investment, is being affected. And that, according to the businessman, was one of the reasons why the troop withdrawal took place. And Mohit, I think you have made a reference to that in your book also, the reasons why, and so you would relate to it also, the reasons why, you know, the investments were getting shy, and therefore the Indian business community, and that also brings out the point, the importance and the clout that the Indian business community enjoys with the political setup even today in India. In my view, Pakistan played its cards well. The trump card, so to speak, was Pakistan's role in Afghanistan. And I think that worked very well for us. Pakistan, of course, the argument was that would be forced to pull troops from the western borders, and it cannot manage two fronts. So the choice was with the Americans, and they sort of put across a point of view to the Indians, and the result was that we were able to get what we wanted. But in the process, U.S. also strengthened its strategic partnership with India. The second peak attack, the Kulchak attack, the militants, again, President Musharraf's speech on the 27th of May, reportedly at U.S.'s prodding. It was, he reiterated his pledge against cross-border infiltration, and it had the desired effect. It was carried, it was conveyed to the Indians before the speech was made, that these would be the contents of the speech, and therefore the Americans were able to win the confidence of the Indians, and also in the process tell the Indians they have that much influence over Pakistan, that they have been, they're in a position to tell the Indians in advance as to what is coming from the President of Pakistan. Richard Armitage's visit to Pakistan and India in June was again a significant development. He acted as a broker and achieved the desired results. As a matter of fact, Prime Minister Vajpayee acknowledged American role in an interview both in January and in May as responsible for India backing down. And Mohit, you have proved that point very convincingly if you look at page 111 in the book. Now the Mumbai crisis, and I was told by Ashraf that I have only 10 minutes, so I'm just rushing through it. But since I was...
We have even a little bit more.
Okay, thank you. I was sort of the man on the spot. I was the High Commissioner in Delhi. As a matter of fact, the day the Mumbai attack took place, our Foreign Minister Shah Mahmood Qureshi was in Delhi. We had just ended the bilateral talks at Hyderabad House. There was a formal dinner at Pakistan House, the residence of the High Commissioner, and Mr. Pranab Mukherjee had just walked in along with Shiv Shankar Menon and others. And as we sat down to dinner, the phone rang and Mr. Mukherjee went red in the face. He looked at Shah Mahmood Qureshi and he said, "Mr. Foreign Minister, something terrible has happened and I have to be excused." And within the next 5 minutes, you know, there were phones ringing all over the place. So the Mumbai terror attack had started at around 9 p.m. on that day. And just before leaving Hyderabad House, Shah Mahmood Qureshi asked me, and he commented, he said, "Probably we are going through the best phase of our bilateral relations." And true enough, because probably he spoke too soon, because that was the time when three questions were given to the two foreign ministers, and the fourth, Pranab Mukherjee, volunteered and he said, "I have a word from the Prime Minister of India, Manmohan Singh, that we will restart the cricketing ties between the two countries." So, you know, the general feeling between 8 o'clock and 9 p.m., sir, was that probably this is the best phase of our bilateral relations. And true enough, it indeed was. The composite dialogue was progressing well, and Shamshad Saab, sitting here, the Foreign Secretary, is the author of the composite dialogue. I'm sure when he gives his views, he will speak about it. Mohit makes a very important point in the book, that despite the scale of the incident, 174 dead, 26 foreigners and U.S. citizens included, it did not escalate to the level of Kargil or the 2001 and 2002 military standoff. There was no troops mobilization, although there were messages of imminent attack round the corner. That very evening, I got a call from our ambassador in Washington, whom we all know well for a number of reasons. Mr. Hussain Haqqani called me late at night at early morning, 3 a.m., that he had heard from his friends on the hill that an attack on Pakistan is round the corner. And within minutes after that, Wajid Shamsul Hassan Saab, our High Commissioner in the UK, called me with a similar message. I could make out where he was coming from. So I conveyed that immediately to the foreign minister who was in town. And the very next day I was given instructions that I must come to Pakistan and report what the situation was on the ground. In the meantime, I had consulted the defense attaché, the air attaché and the naval attaché, because I was supposed to go to Pakistan the next day and maintain what turned out to be correct, that despite all these threats that had been emanating and the messages that we had been receiving, and importantly, Sir, Mr. Foreign Secretary, Mohit has made a mention of that, and I think it's based on our discussion. The Chinese intelligence also pointed out to us that an attack on Pakistan is imminent and round the corner. Now, in that backdrop, I was in Islamabad, and I maintained that, you know, we need not panic, because the situation on the ground, based on input from our defense advisors, was that no forward movement has taken place, the air bases have not been alerted, etc., etc. In my meeting with General Gyani during that period, there was a threatening message from Mr. Fernandez, the Indian Defense Minister. So a decision was taken that a strong, terse statement would be put out by General Kiani, saying that even an act, a surgical strike, would be seen as an act of all-out war, and we will retaliate fully. And also, the Pakistan Air Force decided to fly in sorties of F-16s just to send across the message that we were serious. As I mentioned earlier, there was a time that the India-US strategic partnership was also growing. One such example was my meeting with Mr. Murli Deora, the Minister for Petroleum. We were expecting Dr. Asif, our minister, to come and talk about the India-Pakistan-Iran gas pipeline. So Murli Deora told me 2 days before the visit that we would welcome your minister, but there would be no substantial discussions on the IPI gas pipeline, because that was the time when the Indo-US civil nuclear deal was being discussed between India and the US, and India did not want to be seen as having anything to do with Iran. So that was the sort of partnership that was building. Very quickly, so India preferred to seek U.S. brokerage to compel Pakistan to deliver on its promises and demands and take action against the perpetrators of the Mumbai incident. This is something important that you also bring out in your book, and I've also noticed. India was careful, as it did not want Pakistan to be provoked militarily into any retaliatory step, for the outside world to interpret it as the usual Pakistan-India spat. And so the world would apportion blame on both India and Pakistan. India did not want that to be the policy. Jis tarah Urdu mein kehte hain ki saap bhi mar jaye aur laathi bhi na toote. So it wanted to achieve its purpose, but without the world maligning both India and Pakistan. This is the typical spat between two countries. Now, the possibility of an attack immediately after Mumbai, I have talked about it. The hoax call of friends giving their own assessment, etc., etc. We started our investigations of the suspects, and we reminded the international community in India that unless we have incontrovertible evidence to move against them, it would not be possible for us to take any further action. We wanted to have access to Ajmal Kasab, the only lone survivor. We wanted to cross-examine him. That was denied. The best the Indians offered to us was that we could cross-examine the person who has in turn cross-examined Ajmal Kasab. So that did not make sense. Again, the role of US as a broker is emphasized by Mohit at this stage of our relations with India. Repeated messages to India that Pakistan state was not involved, state of Pakistan, by US and through it, and the same message from other countries, I think that had the desired effect. When we had acknowledged that they were indeed Pakistani nationals, but not necessarily anything to do with the state of Pakistan, when in one of my meetings I conveyed that officially to the Indian External Affairs Minister, Pandar Mukherjee, he said, "Excellency, I know what you are saying, but my only question is, did they come from Mars? Did they come from Mars or did they come from Pakistan? Since you've just acknowledged that they came from Pakistan, to that extent, it is your responsibility to ensure that no such activity takes place from the soil of Pakistan." So that was his brief but very terse sort of a message. Mohit, allow me to disagree a bit with what you have mentioned in the book, that the Mumbai crisis and the attacks were the starkest reminder yet that cross-border terrorism emanating from Pakistan remained clear and present. I disagree with that. Having served in India, having been on the ground for nearly 10 years, 4.5 as deputy and nearly 5 years as head of the mission, the cross-border terrorism, the incidents from across the border targeting Pakistan, they continue unabated and with impunity. Of late, there may have been some let-up, but one cannot forget the now viral speech of the National Security Advisor, Mr. Doval, who before he became the National Security Advisor, he talked about teaching Pakistan a lesson by striking in Balochistan. When a group of former high commissioners were invited by the Aspen Foundation, I raised that question in a meeting when he had taken over as NSA. I talked about Kulbhushan Yadav. I said, "I'm reminded of your speech where you mentioned Balochistan and today you are the NSA and Kulbhushan Yadav incident had taken place. He was arrested." He said, "Mr. Malik, abducted, not arrested." So he said, "We can talk about it. I can give you the details. He was abducted. You decided to announce his arrest, quote-unquote, on the day the Iranian president was visiting Pakistan. You, meaning Pakistan, tried to spoil our relations with Iran. It did not work. It will not work." And today, Doval is the NSA, and these incidents are continuing. We may not be aware of that, but what is happening in Balochistan, what is happening in the rest of Pakistan, and that is where I think, I have a slight difference of opinion with you on that. In conclusion, I agree with Mohit that U.S. foreign policy interests in Afghanistan dovetailed nicely with the de-escalation objective following Mumbai and even earlier. In fact, it also complemented Washington's interests and helped focus Pakistan's attention on the Western Front. The punchline, borrowed from your book, Mohit, brokered bargaining marks a fundamental departure from bilateral deterrence models that have dominated thinking on nuclear crises since the onset of the Cold War. And I think I agree with you. I will stop here and thank you very much once again as we go on.